felt the Lord kind of wanted me to hit on something today that I don't think I've ever preached on, but I've maybe touched on it a little bit here and there. But I feel like the Lord wanted me to talk about strongholds today. So I'm praying that the Lord will give us each something, deposit something in us that would be helpful to us to take from here and bless us in our lives and our families. But I believe so. I do believe so. God's word does not return void. I want to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Just want to hear what the word says. And this is the verse that's well known about talking about strongholds. So let's read this. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ." So when we look at this, this is powerful when we kind of lay hold of what we're called and Paul's calling us to do, and even revealing to us the power that we have in Christ Jesus. It makes it very clear that the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly when we think of it. And he does draw us back to how wars are fought in this world. Okay? Wars are fought with tanks and weapons and ammunition, propaganda, you know, all kinds of deception, espionage, all kinds of things. Wars are fought. But that's not the way of our warfare. It's not what we're called to do. Instead, we have this divine power. Wow. In Christ Jesus, we have a divine power to destroy strongholds. I want us to think about that this morning. I want us to consider that this morning. Because we have something, an ability in Christ to do sometimes way more than we believe we're able to do. This made me think about the Battle of Jericho. If we look back to the book of Joshua, chapter 6, we're not going to read that whole chapter, but just reminding you of that story, the Battle of Jericho, when the Israelites were entering the Promised Land. They crossed over the Jordan, and there they come to their first battle. They were given instructions. Joshua took command, and they marched around the walls of Jericho. Jericho was shut tight. Nobody could go in. Nobody could go out. But they were given instructions. Blow the horns, carry the ark, march with the army around for 7 days, each time waking up, doing the same thing, marching around the walls. And on the seventh day, they said, march around 7 times. Number of completion, right? Number of perfection. 7 times. Blow the horns, and at that point, when the voice is given, give a mighty shout, a victorious shout, a battle cry, everybody shouting out, and the walls fell down. We know the story. The victory was won that day. The town was taking over, and the start of taking hold of the Promised Land that God had given the Israelites began when they won the Battle of Jericho, where the walls fell. This what reminds me. It reminds me of this story of Battle of Jericho when I think about strongholds. Okay? Because what is a stronghold? A stronghold, if we look at the word, it means fortress, really. It means an edifice, something that is built up to protect, a fortress or an entrenched place that is not only not easy to access, but you can't just enter in and take over because it's protecting. Those walls, that fortress is protecting what is behind it. It's a fortified place of defense where the enemy operates out of. We're called to tear down strongholds. Places, the Bible tells us, that the enemy builds places, strongholds, in our lives. And we're going to talk about this, how that looks. But the Bible is also telling us that every Christian needs to be a warrior. Every Christian needs to do battle. Every Christian needs to know how to take up warfare, divine warfare. There's no just people sitting in the stand watching it all happen. There's no just fanfare, so to speak, or just observation. Every Christian is to participate, know how to engage the enemy. Every Christian's had the enemy working in our lives. You, me, we all have. The enemy has worked in our lives and done all kinds of things to build strongholds. So let me ask you today, are you a fighter? Are you a freedom fighter? Well, you should be. Now, maybe not the way sometimes we see in the world, but it's spiritually, we need to learn how to fight for freedom. We need to do it in our lives, and we need to help other people do it as well. Because this is a group project, right? In schools, you had group projects. It was always sad when you had the group projects and there was one person who did all the work and everybody else was just like, okay, we'll just let you do the work. We'll just eat chips and watch you do the work. You ever had that person in your class? Were you that person? I don't know. You know, where it was like one person did all the work. Well, in the body of Christ, we're to encourage each other, build each other up, help each other to win these battles. But we all have to participate. We all have to learn to fight. Again, what happens is the enemy tries to get a foothold in our lives. It says that. You know, the Bible says, don't give the enemy a foothold. Don't give him a place for entering in our lives. We all have, okay? Because we've all sinned. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all allowed the enemy a foothold into our lives. And especially as we continue in sin, perpetual sin, we just give the enemy a place. But the enemy's not just satisfied to have a place. He wants to build a fortification. He wants to build a fortress, a castle in our lives. And he wants to invite all of his friends in, the minions, to come with him. So you have a strong man and all those under the strong man taking orders. You know, hell has rank, just like we see in the Bible. But if you read the Bible, you know there's principalities and there's different levels of evil and wickedness and demonic strongholds and entities. And the more the enemy builds a stronghold in our lives is the more he's allowing and building his work, the devil's work, in our lives. Now let's talk about this fortification and what these walls are made of. Now one common thing the enemy uses is deception. The father of lies lies to us. No surprise, right? He lies to us. Have you ever been lied to? Of course you have. We've all been lied to. And sometimes it was even well-meaning, because somebody was just repeating a lie they believed was true, and they repeated it to us. But it was a lie. The person just didn't realize it was a lie. And we believed it was true because they told us it was true. But the enemy builds walls out of deception and lies. And it's brick by brick, lie by lie. You know, if you hear the world, I think this is true, if you hear a lie often enough, you'll believe it's true, right? You come to believe it. If Joe says it's true, I say, well, okay, well, maybe that's true. But if Erica says it's true also, well, I say, well, maybe that really is true. And if three or four people will agree with it, you ever do that game? Like make something up and just see if you can get somebody to go along with it? And if you get enough people to go along with it, then the person who's the odd person out will be like, well, maybe I should go along with it too. It's funny how society works and how we think sometimes, and how we sometimes will join into a lie that at first we're like, I'm not so sure about that. But our agreement with a lie strengthens the enemy's grip and hold on us, okay? And it's repetitive if we think about it. It's repetitive. And we'll agree with the enemy on a lie, and the enemy will just continue to build the wall stronger and stronger and try to repeat that lie over and over and over again till it really has a type of control over us. We can come to Christ, know Jesus, and as believers, we can still believe lies. Okay? Not only is it possible, but it's reality. We all have. We've all come to Christ, and there were strongholds in our lives that were there. And sometimes, you know, we would hear the truth of Christ, and it wouldn't quite sit right. I was like, is that really true? Is that really true? And we would question sometimes even the Word of God. Sometimes we don't realize there are strongholds within us, things that are false, things that need to be demolished, need to be pulled down, and sometimes we don't know what to do, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Let me tell you this. First, there's different types of strongholds that the enemy works in, okay? I'm not sitting here trying to cover everything, but let's cover some basic ones. There's strongholds in society that influence all of us, every one of us, okay? There's lies being perpetuated out in the world, okay? And we hear them. And sometimes when we know it's true, we know and identify very clearly those lies that are in society, beliefs, philosophies, mantras, that have strongholds in our society. Things that 50 years ago, people, nobody would believe. Okay, let's take this whole idea of gender dysphoria. 50 years ago, would there have been much of a problem to just quickly dismiss the foolishness of you can choose your own gender, however many, the growing numbers of gender, who knows, there's hundreds now. And it's all just kind of whatever you make it up to be. It's all just a social construct. Would you have 50 years ago? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That wouldn't even been thought of. That would have been ridiculous, ludicrous. What are you talking about? But today, people take it very seriously. You can take college classes in it. You have college professors who that's all they do. That's what they teach. And it's truth. It's absolute truth to them. And if you counter that truth, you're going to not only offend and upset, but you might get quite some backlash. You might be called hate-filled. And if your biblical beliefs come into conflict with that, it's going to be a problem. See, the enemy works very hard to push society in a direction of ungodly belief system. Okay? And we're in that. There's so many things today we can see. It's just crazy how the enemy has countered God's truth. You know, we're created. Male and female, we're created in God's image, right? We know the truth of God. But there's some people, even in church today, that we've heard it so much about this different gender that we've come to start, some believers have come to start accepting what the world teaches. That maybe the world has got something correct there. And we start losing a hold of the truth of God. So we see that happening today. Over time, the enemy builds a strong delusions in our society. Strong delusions. And so people are under some strong delusions. And the fortress is becoming, I say, thicker and thicker and harder to penetrate. For instance, let me just say a California law. If you want to be a counselor, a Christian counselor, and you want to help people overcome gender dysphoria, right? That used to be considered a mental condition, a mental issue, but it's been changing over time. But now there's California law that says they would revoke your license if you do not affirm somebody's gender dysphoria, that you have to. You have no choice. You have to affirm them. You cannot counter it. You cannot counter them with the truth of God. You cannot counter them with the Bible. And of course, they've done there's conversion therapy that is considered to be the most heinous thing in the world by those who accept gender dysphoria as truth. And so when people can get help and people can walk out, because honestly, studies even show that many people work, as they grow and mature through childhood into adulthood, many people come out of that gender dysphoria. And they own the gender they were born with, whether they're male or they're female, and they embrace it. They said the vast majority of people do that. If you help them and guide them and direct them. But now in California, see, so I'm saying is the fortification of the enemy is building stronger and stronger, so where it's illegal to help somebody. Isn't that crazy? Talk about clash of world beliefs, clash of belief systems, I should say. It's a radical clash. We're seeing where biblical beliefs are very offensive to some people. But we also understand that some of this philosophy stuff was created in hell, in the pits of hell. And it's a delusion that's being spread into the earth. It's demonic delusion. We have to see it for what it is. Because if we pray, we need to pray to bind up the enemy who's at work in these places. If we need to deal with this, we need to identify the strong man involved in some of these issues. And we need to have compassion upon people and love people who are experiencing this, because there are, in some ways, victims to the delusion. And they're in a system that is not only upholding it, they're championing it. So we have societal strongholds that are in effect in our world today. And we need to pray, Lord God, tear down these strongholds. And we do not need to be afraid to present biblical truth and say, no, that's not who God created you as a beautiful woman or a beautiful young man. And help people to see who God has created them to be. There's strongholds, and we see them in our society today. There's strongholds in families. You see it from generation to generation to generation. Oftentimes you can see it in repetitive sins. There's just a certain sin that just runs through that family. Maybe it's alcoholism. Maybe it's racism. Okay? Maybe it's greed. You know, there's a certain sin that runs through a family. It's almost like there's been a stronghold built up in that family, like a familiar spirit that just goes from generation to generation to generation until it's broken. Okay? You see, that's the divine power we have in Christ Jesus. That's the divine power that God has given us to even break generational sin and strongholds that have been in our family. You can see it. You can see the proclivities, the things that your family has struggled with over the years. And maybe you were the one to break free from that because you identified. You identified some strongholds in your family. Maybe you didn't call it that, but you identified some habits, some things within your family. And you came to learn the truth. You may be the first Christian in your family. Maybe even generations before had not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you were the one to say, you know what? I see that Christ is the one. He's the Messiah. And though the ones who've come before me didn't accept that. And sometimes it's the younger generation that will lead the older generation to Jesus, right? And then things start breaking. Strongholds start breaking in families because finally somebody breaks the lineage and brings Jesus into your line, into your family. The enemy works to build strongholds in that next generation. And we need to identify, Lord, what are strongholds in our family that need to be broken? What are repetitive patterns? What are ways of thinking? You know, if you've been a Christian all your life, sometimes the way of thinking can be religious. There's religious ways of thinking. There's self-righteous ways of thinking. I mean, I'll be honest, I grew up in a traditional church. But when I got filled with the Spirit, there was greater freedom. There was greater freedom in worship. I had a hunger, a desire for things that maybe my generations before didn't know about or experience. And I wanted more. And I realized Christianity wasn't just about good behavior and showing up on Sunday and looking good. It was so much more than that. So, well, that wasn't it, I should say. But walking with God and having a relationship with Him. And you know what? I needed it. And maybe because out of my own need, I realized, Jesus, I need you. And going to church is not going to fix it. I need a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus. I need a transformation in my life. And so we change and we realize some things, some old ways of thinking have to change. So we recognize strongholds in our families, in our society, and even in our personal lives. We begin and say, Lord, help me to see and recognize where things need to be broken and strongholds need to be demolished. Again, a stronghold is anywhere where false knowledge, lies, have been built up against God to hinder the move of God, to hinder the work of God. You know, the Lord kind of gave me an idea of an athlete, because the Lord sometimes speaks in athletic terms for me, because I don't get dreams very well, but this one I got. I got this one. And it was an athlete who was very good, who was very excellent, quarterback, starting quarterback of a college team. But he was good. But he had a problem, because he was doing some exercises and he fell down from a tall building. And he got hurt. Pain went all through his body. And he wasn't able to lead his team to victory. He had an injury. And I kind of woke up on that, and I was like, Lord, what is that about? And I felt the Lord also saying is that, you know, you can be skilled. You can be excellent. You can be all these things. But if you're walking with an injury, you're not able to get on the field and play the game the way it should be played and lead the team to victory. And do the things that you're called to do. And I thought about this too with the idea of a ballerina. A beautiful ballerina who can just dance and graceful and wonderful. But yet, when she goes across the stage to leap, she falls down and crumples in pain. And she can't be in the production. There are things in our life that are like injuries. And I want to say strongholds is one of those things, where the enemy will build up something that will hinder the work of God in us, and we never will experience the fullness of what God wants us to experience, because there's strongholds in our lives. They keep holding us back. And if you experience things that continually hold you back in life, you're probably dealing with a stronghold. Identify it. What is it? What is continually keeping me, keeping your family from experiencing the kind of life that God has tended you to live and to experience and to give and to do? God wants us all to be champions, able to fly, able to lead the team to victory. You know, we don't realize this, but sometimes we have to hear what's going on inside of our heads. What do you hear? Whether it's true or not, do you ever hear things like, I'm stupid. I could never do this. I can't do anything right. What good am I? I'm a nuisance. I'm in the way. I need to get out of the way. I'm just an outcast. Nobody accepts me around here. I just need to go and live life by myself. What are things that you hear in your head that you know are negative, that you know they beat you down, and it's repetitive too. It's not just a one-time thing. It's not like, oh, I just made a mistake. Oh, okay. You know, sometimes when we make mistakes, we're like, okay, move on. That's okay. I can learn from a mistake. But I'm talking about debilitating voices. Do you hear things? You ever wondered, you know, is that my voice or is that the enemy poking me? I can kind of imagine just the enemy sitting on your shoulder, sitting on my shoulder, and then sometimes with a repetitive thought, just like, yeah, I'm not letting you gonna have peace today, and just starts poking you with something. Ah, you're stupid, you're foolish, you're no good. Ah, yeah, yeah. Like a nagging voice. Sometimes it feels like flies are around us, that we need to swat the flies. But I think it's true, sometimes we need to be careful with what's going on in our head and really think about what I'm thinking about Because it may not be good. It may not be healthy. And it may be from the enemy. If we hear it often enough, we'll become to believe these things. And when we believe these things, we're agreeing with the devil, and strongholds are being built. We have to tear down these strongholds. So we have to check out our beliefs. We have to check out our beliefs and thoughts about ourselves. And we should do it, really, you need a trusted person. Because if you're hearing thoughts in your head repeatedly, you should ask somebody. Is this true about me? Am I really stupid? Am I really good for nothing? Am I really a nuisance? Or whatever that may be. I mean, you just fill in the blank. Is this true? I guarantee you, you'll probably hear a much different perspective from somebody on the outside who knows you well and says, no, that's not who you are. That's not who you are at all. Get somebody trusted. Get somebody who cares about you and will speak the truth to you. Now, this is what the Word of God says about you. That's not who you are. Don't let that define who you are. We need trusted people. We need to help each other out and speak the truth to one another and tear down. See, we're helping each other tear down lies. So don't let a lie sit there. We've got to confront them. We've got to confront them, and we've got to tear them down. And we can do that even helping each other. Okay, let me use a silly example, but it may not actually it's not so silly because it's a real life example. What if you believed that you're a cat? Anybody here believes they're a cat? Yep. Good. It's silly. It's ridiculous, right? And we think nobody thinks that, but in this world, there are people who think that. You're like, how in the world can somebody think that? They go around purring with cat ears on. They like to play in kitty litter. Their belief profoundly affects their behavior. Okay, I'm using a pretty... Well, we would all probably agree and say, well, that's just ridiculous, okay? Your belief about yourself profoundly affects your behavior. Now, obviously, that's a major stronghold. That's a stronghold. That's a major stronghold in somebody's life. But we have to recognize the strongholds in our lives. I mean, we know. I mean, right? The good news is we're not a cat. And we don't believe that lie. And we see it. It's obvious. It's so obvious to us. But there's some things in your life that are not so obvious. There's some lies that you believe that may not be so obvious. Okay? You may believe a lie that God doesn't want you to be abundant. He wants you to be poor. Okay? You may believe a lie that God loves you, but kinda. God kinda loves you. Like, he doesn't love you like he loves the person beside you. And God really more has like pity on you. Like not much, like kind of love, but it's a kind of like a pity love. You know, like when you get into heaven, you're going to just barely get into heaven by some kind of just pity that God has for you. I mean, look, I'm talking about real beliefs that Christians believe about themselves. You have to identify what's going on in the inside of you and say, wait a minute. What does the Word of God say about me? So we have to pray, Lord, is there a stronghold in my life? Is there an area of belief that has been built up over years of time that I've come to believe, but it's not true? It's not true. And God's Word says that it's a lie and it's not true. We've all done it. I believe lies about myself. And it's hindered me. I see how it's hindered me in my walk where I've not been everything that God's called me to be. So wait a minute, God, I need to go back over and over and know who I am in Christ, know my identity in you, know who I am, and I need to come back over and over and over again to your truth, because that's what tears down the enemy, the strongholds, okay? As we are doing this course, Freedom in Christ, that's a big part of this course. And it says freedom in Christ. And the whole freedom is knowing who you are in Christ Jesus, identifying the lies that we've come to believe in this life, and tearing them down with the truth of God. Tearing them down again and again and again. You need a wrecking ball in your life. A God wrecking ball. It's called the Word of God. It's called the truth. His truth. His Word wrecking those lies. And you literally need to over and over and over again apply the wrecking ball to the walls that the enemy has built in your life. Do not let them stand. The problem is we get comfortable, or we get used to life with strongholds. They're holding us back. We're not making much progress, but we've just kind of gotten used to it. We're not doing everything God's called us to do. We're not being everything that God's called us to do. We're operating in fear. We're operating in the fear of man, what people think about us, their opinions about us, negative opinions. We're controlled by that stuff, but we don't let the Word of God needs to guide us and direct us. So we need to build the Word of God up in us. It's so crucial. And that's why I love the chapters that just have the words here that just talk about who you are in Christ Jesus. I'm accepted. I'm secure. I'm significant. You know, scriptures like, I'm the salt and light of the earth. I'm a branch of the true vine, a channel of His life. God works in me. I am God's temple. He dwells in me. You want to be able to read those words and say, yes, that's who I am. That doesn't apply to somebody else. It applies to me. That's one thing we really love about this course. It's so good. It's just getting strong in the Word of God, and it's pulling down false beliefs that we believe. When you grew up, were you ever afraid of the dark? I was. I saw monsters in the closet. They were there, I'm sure of it. If they weren't there, they were under the bed. And I just had to hide in the covers. And then Erica talked me out of it, you know, last week. And she said that was foolishness. And I'm like, well, okay. But when you mature, right? When you mature, you learn there's no monsters under your bed. Not the shadowy kind, right, that we fear, right? Now, I'm not saying there's demonic attacks and things like that, and we need to learn how to deal with that, okay? We need to learn how to deal with the devil and his dominions and his attacking us, okay? We rebuke the devil, okay? We rebuke him when we come against him. So there's stuff like that, but that's usually like a spirit of fear might hit you at night, okay? That's on that line. And so there is such a thing as a spirit of fear, and we confront it. We rebuke it in the authority of Christ Jesus, say, get out of here. Okay, you have that authority in Christ Jesus. But I'm talking about in your head thinking thoughts that are just not true. Okay, there's no monsters in the closet. There's even the shadows, as you kind of can make out kind of a monster in the shadows. When you grow up and you learn the truth, you apply the truth, you're no longer scared of the dark, all right? And you're free. You're free from the monsters in the closets that kind of scared you so much when you were a kid. That's what maturing in Christ is all about. When we mature in Christ and we learn what is true, we learn the truth of Christ, we exchange lies for truth. We get rid of the lies and we put in its place the truth of God. That's maturity. Okay? Now, I believe there's sometimes we need to go and we need to get ministered to. Absolutely, 100%. Because I want to be minister of the anointing. I've experienced the anointing. It's very powerful. And there's sometimes under the anointing that God will do something and break something in your life. It's very powerful. A healing, a deliverance, all those things. But let me say this. You can't cast out a stronghold. And there's an important difference there. You can cast out the enemy, you can cast out the devil, but you can't cast out a stronghold. A stronghold is something the enemy builds. It's an edifice. It's an entrenchment. And it has to be rooted out. It has to be knocked down. And that's the maturity that we have in Christ Jesus, where we come at that stronghold with the truth, with the Word of God, over and over and over again, till our identity is firm in who we are in Christ Jesus and what the Word of God says. Okay? So sometimes I have to say, you can pray until you're blue in the face about casting out a stronghold, but that's, you can't cast out a stronghold. Okay? That's belief systems, the things that we believe in our heads. So we have to even retrain on the Word of God. So developing a different neural pathway, okay? Because sometimes this also is the case of sin. Sometimes, we experience things in life. We get down, we get depressed, and we go straight to sin. That's the old man. The old man. We go to a pathway of sin. Because that was the wide way, the way built up in our sinful nature that we built up. And it was over time. But God says, no, learn a new way. And this is why he says, follow me. Because we want to follow him so that he can lead us in this new way. This new way, this thinking like Jesus thinks. Thinking according to the Word of God. And developing this new way. When you start to develop this new way in Christ, it's like taking a machete and cutting through the jungle. But if you keep doing it long enough, you're going to throw away the machete because you won't need the machete any longer because you're going to have a nice pathway that's well-worn because you've been walking the pathway of the truth of Christ in your life long enough. There's a well-worn pathway so that when you struggle in life, you're not going to go the pathway of sin. You're going to go the pathway of Christ and say, Lord, I'm choosing today, no matter how I feel, if I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling down, I'm feeling things are coming against me, I'm choosing today your truth. I'm choosing today to follow you. I may not feel like it, but I'm choosing today to apply your word to my life. And I'm going to trust and I'm going to believe that you're carrying me through. Can you trust God that way? Can you believe God in that way? That's what he wants us to do. We have to make a choice. We have to apply the Word of God to our lives. This is the difference maker, and this is the maturity that we need. And when we're mature in Christ, we're not easily dissuaded by the enemy. We're not easily deceived because we can recognize the truth more clearly. Do you know how, I'm going to say the feds, that's not quite specific enough, but when those people who are looking at counterfeit money, I don't know exactly their title, those people who look at the counterfeit, you would think they would have to study every technique of counterfeiters, but they don't. They don't study every technique out there of counterfeiters. What they do, they study the real thing. They study what money really is like in every detail. They study every detail, every line, every security feature, everything about money. They're experts. They're experts on money and what it looks like and what it should be and how it's made. And they can recognize anything that's not money. They can recognize anything, even minute details, of what is counterfeit of the real thing. If we know the real thing, if we know truth, if we know God's truth in our lives, it's kind of difficult for the enemy to dissuade us. We need to know his truth and apply it into our lives over and over and over again. So let's demolish the lies and build the truth in our hearts and in our minds. So it's clear the tactics and the schemes of the enemy that he tries to use against us. I also want to say this about temptation is, the enemy hits us hard in temptation. He tries everything under the sun. But the Bible says if we will submit ourselves to God, if we will resist the enemy, and I think if we will commit ourselves to spiritual warfare, don't do it alone. Get help, right? We get help from each other. If we're having a hard time with the truth, we need somebody else to help speak the truth to us. And we resist the enemy. Do you know the enemy starts to lose power when we apply the truth of God to our lives? And we start hammering his attacks. And we put up the shield of faith, right? Put on the armor of God. We put up the shield of faith to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. Because we're walking by faith. We're trusting in God. We're applying his word to our lives. We're diligent. We're persistent. We're going to win the battle. That's the mindset. You're going to win the battle. You can't lose walking with Jesus, doing it God's way. And the voice of the enemy will get less and less and less and less. And I also believe this, the voice of God will become predominant in your life. God is there for you every day. And he wants you to experience victory. Victory, victory, victory. Psalm 20, verse 6. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Do you trust in the name of Jesus? Do you trust that he's there for you? You're not a second-class citizen of heaven. You're not an afterthought of God. You're written on the palm of his hands. And he loves you. He cares intimately for you. And he has a plan for your lives. I think we need to say things to ourselves. We need to speak to ourselves, okay? Who cares what other people say when we're talking to ourselves? We need to say things like, I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm applying the Word of God. Apply the Word of God to your life every day. I belong to my Heavenly Father. I am a true son or daughter of God. My name is written on the palm of his hands. I am my beloved, and he is mine. What's the word of God that you need to grab hold of and just every day apply it to your life? Every day, speak it out loud. Put your name in there. It applies to you. It's like medicine for a wounded soul. We need God's help. Our flesh won't win. Our flesh won't win against the enemy. We need to walk by the Spirit of God, the Word of God in our lives. So let me ask you this today. Just ask God, God, are there any strongholds in my life? What are the strongholds? Would you help me to identify? Would you help me to identify repetitive patterns in my life, repetitive thoughts that are not healthy, that are negative, that get me down? Would you help me see where the enemy has been at work for maybe many years and I haven't recognized it, or I kind of don't really maybe know what to do? So pray that it would be revealed and you would see it clearly, okay? And then also pray that you hear it for God's truth, for the scripture that you need to apply, to be in the scriptures, that God would lead you to his truth, and that truth, you would speak that truth over and over and over again in your lives. Apply it to your life. You know, you were created to shine in Christ Jesus. You were created to be free. And the Word of God says very specifically in John 8:31, Jesus speaking to the Jews who had believed in him. He said, Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Okay? See, being a disciple, walking with Jesus, knowing his voice, knowing his truth, and allowing that truth to predominate in our lives, it will set us free. So what do you believe in today? Do you believe there's a sin in your life that you can't overcome? Do you really believe that? Because if you believe it, you're just agreeing with the enemy, and you won't be set free. You might need help. You probably do. You probably do need help, especially something that's been entrenched. But come to believe that God's desire for your life is to be totally set free, and that you can walk free, even from besetting sins that have been in your life for many, many, many years. You're created to shine the light of Christ. You're created to be fruitful, to be abundant, to be blessed, to be joy-filled, to be an overcomer in Christ. Don't accept anything less. I think that's the thing. I think in the body of Christ, don't accept anything less than being what God fully intends you to be. John 15, 16, I'll close with this scripture. It says, "You did not choose me," Jesus is speaking, "you did not choose me, but I chose you. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." It's a call to be fruitful. That's God's desire for us. It's his design for us. And he wants you. Ask in my name, with the integrity of my name. Ask. And it will be done. So our call today is be fruitful, be full of life, be free to be all that God has called you to be. But be a warrior. Be committed. Tear down the works of the enemy. Identify them. Tear them down with the Word of God, the truth of God, and by the Spirit of God working in you. And confess what is true.